Each week this summer, the preacher has been preaching on his or her favorite text from the previous week's reading in the summer book club. And my favorite reading from this week's was from 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. God is love, and those who abide in God abide in love, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for your word, your written word, your preached word, and more than all, your incarnate word in Jesus Christ. Speak, O Lord, for your servants are listening. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So love, 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 love. It's a word we better understand if we're going to understand this scripture. 13 times in 5.5 verses, John says the word love. It's once every 11 words in this passage. It kind of reminds me of songs that talk about love. I think love must be the most popular word in any song title, right? And so I want you now to turn to somebody near you and tell them a song title that has the word love in it. So turn to somebody, any song title that has the word love in it. Just think of a song that has the word love in its title. All right, everybody, think of one. Do you think of one song that has love in its title? All right, what's a song that you thought of? Somebody say one.
All you need is love.
All you need is love. What else? What, love will keep us together. We're getting a throwback to Captain and Tennille from the Gescheidel house. What was that?
Can't buy me love.
All right. How about one more? Jesus loves me. All right. So that's a good one to close this part of the sermon out on. In fact, it might be a good one to just close the sermon out, period, on. Jesus loves me. So you might know that the playwright Lin-Manuel Miranda once said, love is love is love is love is love is love is love. And while he was right in his context, if he had been writing back when John was writing this book of the Bible, he would have realized that actually love is not love, is not love, is not love. Because there were three words in Greek that we translate into one, the same word in English, love. There's three different words, and we'll see if some of your song titles lined up with some of these words about love. So the first word is eros, E-R-O-S. Eros is the kind of love that couples have for each other. It's romantic love. It's sexual love. We get our word erotic from the word eros. And this word never appears in the whole Bible, not even once. But it does appear in a line of song titles. So I wonder who thought of a song title that has love between couples in it? What song title did you think of with this kind of love, a love between couples? Love the one you're with. What else? He loves, what is it? She loves you or he loves you? What was the title? She loves you. All right. Yeah. We're getting a lot of Beatles songs this morning. So that's the kind of love that comes from eros. Now, there's a kind of love that comes from philia, which is the second word. It's P-H-I-L-I-A in Greek. We get the word filial, F-I-L-I-A-L, from that word. And this is the kind of love between brothers and sisters, or the kind of love between friends. And this kind of love is spoken about a lot in the New Testament. I wonder if you can think of a song title that talks about brotherly love with love in it. This one is a little harder. At least it was harder for me. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. That's perfect, right? Also, I think the Beatles, All You Need Is Love, it comes in with that. Then the third kind of love that's talked about in the ancient world is agape, A-G-A-P-E. And the only word we get from agape, from Greek, is agape in English. Not much help, right? Agape is the kind of love that God has for us, and it's the kind of love that God wants us to have for each other. And it's the kind of love that gets mentioned 13 times in this passage. This kind of love connects us with God. This kind of love is a love that takes away our fears. It gives us boldness. This kind of love sends us out to love each other. And this kind of love is anchored in the triune God. Now, I wonder what song titles with love will tell you about this love.
You might,
love divine, all loves just excelling. Somebody has looked at the hymn from the last part of our worship service today. You can look and see the songs the choir sang, More Love, and another one that's coming up, I think, was The Name of Love or something. There's also, of course, Jesus Loves Me. So all of those have something to do with God. So agape is the kind of love that God shows us and God wants us to show other people. Now, here's the thing. John was not writing this scripture to give us a vocabulary lesson. John wanted us, and we need to understand the different kinds of love in order to understand what he was talking about, but John did not write this scripture primarily for us to understand agape love. John wrote this scripture so that we would experience agape love. Not just know it in our heads, but know it in our hearts. And then that not just that we would experience it, but that everyone on earth would experience it. You read towards the end where God starts talking through John about how important it is for us to love our brothers and sisters. And not just our biological brothers and sisters, even though those are hard enough sometimes, but that God would have us love everyone around us with this kind of agape love. In fact, one commentator said that love is not an intellectual abstraction, as if we can just think about it. Love is not an intellectual abstraction. It is an existential attitude leading to concrete action. It's an existential attitude leading to concrete action, or what we're going to do here before long, it's an existential attitude that leads to action with concrete. If you haven't been around here this summer, you may not know that we're going to have some action with concrete right outside these doors. The session has approved a plan to reconfigure the space that's currently taken up by the choir room and by the parlor and by the kitchen. And so you'll be learning more and more about it as the months go by, but it will allow us to have larger gatherings here right outside the door than we're able to now. So you'll learn more, as I said. You'll learn about how there's going to be a state-of-the-art choir room downstairs. You'll learn how the fundraising, the response to the fundraising has been so generous and great. You'll learn about how the construction's going to start towards the end of this year and be finished by Easter. You'll learn about all those things. If you want, you can watch our Facebook Live session this Tuesday at 1:30, or you can find it on the page after that. I'll be walking around the space and helping you to imagine what it might look like. I want to be sure, and I know you'll want to thank the people who have been spearheading this. You'll want to thank Jan Gibson and Jim Manier and Dave Tolmie and Nancy Thompson, who have been working so hard on this. So you're going to learn a lot in the weeks and months to come about this project, but what I want you to focus on right now is how this project will help us show agape love to our neighbors. Because every week we have guests here, first-time visitors here, and if you are a first-time visitor, I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you can find your way to fellowship. You may need a GPS or breadcrumbs, and it is easier now than it will be once we turn over to our regular schedule in the fall when you have to find your way somehow downstairs by a staircase that is not at all obvious to you at all. So the odds of guests actually making it their way to fellowship to actually connect with people from the church are pretty low right now. But if we can just exit out these doors and walk into a space where the fellowship will be going on, people who are new to us will have a chance to connect with us and then have a chance to join us in God's mission to show agape love to everyone around us. Or imagine you're a preschool mom without a church home. And you realize that when you're rushed, you can just stick around in this space and have coffee rather than running up to Starbucks. And the thing is, every minute somebody spends in our building is another minute that our church becomes their de facto church, even if they're not looking for one. So that when some disaster strikes them, they know this is where they can turn to experience agape love. Or think about college freshmen, maybe homesick college freshmen who have gotten here and to Lake Forest College right across the way, and they don't like their roommate and their classes are worrying them and their hometown boyfriend or girlfriend just broke up with them, and they come here to a college orientation event in the new space, and they meet some of us, and eventually they find their way into the life of the church where they realize God's agape love for them. As the commentator said, love is existential attitude in concrete actions, or with actions with concrete. And that's where we're headed. Now, of course, as we head that way of using more and more concrete actions, we're not the first ones to think about showing our love in concrete actions. God has been showing love for us in concrete actions for millennia. God created the whole universe and called it good and set us in it. God called us and blessed us to be a blessing to others. And every time we turned away, God did not turn away from us. Prophets came and kings came to draw us back to God. And then at just the right time, Jesus Christ came and Jesus taught us, Jesus challenged us, Jesus forgave us, Jesus saved us, Jesus loved us. Jesus loves us, and Jesus' love, that concrete action on the cross and in the empty tomb, they were what showed us that God really loves us. And those actions that God took, those concrete actions that God took and that God takes, they reshape our identity. They help us understand who we really are in God's eyes as ones who are beloved and gathered in to Him. Last February, we were talking about our Christian identity as ones who are seen in God's eyes. And if you were here in February for the first Festival Sunday of the year, you'll remember that we had a chance in that service to focus on a different part of this chapter from 1 John, where we talked about how we need to listen to God's voice rather than the other voices that swirl around us. And in that worship service, there were cards like this in our bulletins, and we had a chance to finish the sentence, "Lord Jesus, please drown out the voices that tell me dot, dot, dot." And then the women from the prayer shawl ministry made an art exhibit. You might remember that. So these cards hung from the lectern and from the pulpit. And if you came up and read them, you'll remember how vulnerable we were as we answered those. You'll remember that we said things that were surprising, at least to us on the staff. Things that showed us what our identities were in our scariest moments. Here's some of what people wrote. "Lord Jesus, please take away the voices that tell me I am not enough, I am selfish, I am fat." Jesus, please drown out the voices that say, I am not worthy to be loved by others. Drown out the voices that tell me, you can't do it, you're too old. Jesus, please drown out the voices that tell me I could be better as a mother and grandma. That I am not loved by all those close to me. Please drown out the voices that tell me my friends and family secretly hate me. And that there is no hope. We don't often let these diabolical voices be aired in public. We like to smooth things over and act as if everything's okay. But the problem is, when these voices are in our ears, we start to think that our primary identity is one who is selfish or fat or unworthy or unlovable or hopeless. But God says in our passage today that that is not our primary identity. Our primary identity is not someone who is unworthy or unlovable or hopeless. Our primary identity in Jesus Christ is one who has been loved by God. We're reassured that God's love abides with us. God's love remains with us. God's love is agape love that showers over us. And that this, as God's love showers over us, it wipes away the residue of these other voices which try to convince us that we are not enough. And as God's love showers over us, it gives us a new identity, which tells us that we are beloved children in whom God's agape has been perfected. This kind of love casts out fear, according to John. This kind of love says there's no fear in love, according to John. He tells us that we don't have to worry about judgment day. We don't have to worry about when we die. We don't have to worry about when Jesus comes back. We do not need to worry because perfect love, the kind of love that God has for us, casts out fear. So at the end of our lives, we don't need to worry about what kind of punishment there might be, what kind of damnation there might be, or what kind of nothingness there might be. Because there is no fear in love, even for those at the end of their lives. I'm grateful for how this impacted my mother. She found a lump in her breast while I was still breastfeeding. And I think these days there would be treatment that would cure her. But back in the late 60s and early 70s, the cancer progressed step by painful step. My dad says the only reason that she made it until I was 7 and my sister was 8 was because of her fierce love for us. And I learned recently from a friend of mine that her mother had visited my mother just 2 days before she had died. And I learned that she had a palpable, real sense of Jesus' presence with her, even in the midst of all of her pain and struggle. And that she didn't want her life to end, but she didn't face the end of her life with fear. That I'm so grateful that my mother knew that in life and in death, she belonged to her faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And that with boldness, she could face death knowing that her primary identity was one who was loved deeply by Christ.
2 days later, my mother rested in peace in the agape love which surrounded her. That's the love that I want for you and that we want for the world. Let's pray that it would be so. Oh God, we thank you that you have loved us with concrete action again and again and again. And so we pray, oh God, that we would experience that love for ourselves and then that we would be sent outward to everyone around us, showing them that love. And we pray that this new space that we will be constructing and renewing, oh God, that it would be a sign of agape love for everyone who enters. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.